and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Somebody say, neighbor, I'm going to praise. So let's praise.
Y'all better praise now. Come on.
We love to call your name. It's something we
sing it out. Hallelujah. Sing that one more time. Say,
there is power in the name.
Say, power in your name. Come on and help me out. Say, there is power.
There is power in the name of
Jesus.
There's
so much power in your name.
Yeah.
say I'm so free.
I'm free when I call you Jesus.
When I call your name.
I'm free when I call hey. Your name.
Say when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Say when I call your name.
When I call your name.
I feel the breaking when I call.
When I call your name.
All things are changing when I call.
When I call hey. Your name.
Say when say that one more time.
Everything has to change.
Say when I call your name.
When I call your
hey,
name.
Everything has to change. Come on, come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hey, 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 hey. You got about 20 seconds to find somebody to praise with. Grab your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to praise with you. Come on, grab your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to praise with you. Because what we're about to do is bring about change and warfare this morning. Hey, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Say, say,
everything has to change.
Come on, tell your problems, everything has to change.
Everything has to change.
Come on, tell your circumstances that everything has
everything
to change.
Has to change.
Tell the enemy to move out of your path because everything,
everything has to change.
I'm not taking no for an answer. Come on, y'all. Everything has to change. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Man, God is so holy. He's so amazing. We just celebrated his birth. He came for us. Man, he's so amazing. He's so gracious. He's so loving. He's so caring. Come on and lift your hands and just start praying. Come on and lift your hands and just start ministering to him. Hallelujah.
Your work for my won't let me go. You have spoken, and I know that it is so. Oh, you have spoken, and I know that it is so. You have spoken. A faithful God, we worship you in this place. Hallelujah.
To my name Jesus, when his name is spoken, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. You see, it's not a name like any other name. It's a name that has authority that every demon in hell is subject to. It's a name that when it is spoken, sickness and disease have to subject themselves to. It's a name when it is spoken, literally reverberates in the spiritual realm. Sometimes we forget, we get a little bit too carnal. We forget what the name of Jesus is all about. You see, he didn't need a name, we needed the name. We need the name to be able to speak it in the authority. Jesus said it this way. He said, up to this point, you've asked of me nothing. But from this point, when you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it to you. So you see, when we start singing his name, heaven pays attention. Literally, the favorite topic of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. When you start worshiping him, boom. All of a sudden, the spirit realm starts to erupt. God says, I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. And I always say it this way, don't look any further, here we are. Why? Because I love the name of Jesus. It's not a cuss word to me. It's not just a religious word to me. It's not the name of a guy that was an historical person that walked on the planet. Jesus, he shall save you from your sins. And in the name of Jesus, everything on the earth, under the earth, and below the earth is subject to you and I. You're not weak, you are strong. Come on now, you are not weak, you are strong. You have the name of Jesus, and you have heaven backing you up. I want you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So I don't know what trials you're going through, but I want you to know they've already been won. You're battling your circumstances. The battle's already been won. Jesus already paid for it. You need to start speaking to your circumstances, your symptoms, in the name of Jesus. You need to start bringing them into subjection to his name. That's why this song just isn't a song to me. When I start singing the name of Jesus, I get stirred up inside because I know the authority that it gives us. I was able yesterday to minister to a lady all the way in Colorado who's been tormented by a demon since last May. And I was able to, over about a half hour, share with her the word of God, exactly what I'm talking to you about, the authority and the power in the name of Jesus. I got a text last night. She'd been tormented every night when she goes to sleep. She'd been tormented all day long. And she texted me last night just before I went to bed. She goes, I feel so free. Of course you do. Jesus! 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 Oh, I feel the anointing. Jesus! Jesus! We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the authority you've given us in your name. We honor you. We honor you this morning. We adore you, Jesus. Thank you for raising from the dead. No man took your life, you gave it. Thank you that today you're sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, you've not left us helpless, but you've left us supernaturally powerful people. And we will accomplish heaven's tasks on this earth to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And everybody said, amen. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Oh. Yeah, but I don't have a lot of time. We got to sing it. I'm sorry. You know it?
Yep.
Play on, woman.
Okay. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Come on now. Come on now. You're not just singing a name. You're singing the name
above
all things.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Jesus. Oh, I just feel the anointing every time I do that. Jesus.
All the world can come to him and have their sins removed.
Oh, the name of Jesus.
Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful?
Yes, your name is beautiful, Jesus. Thank you so much.
Jesus powerful.
Come on, I don't know what your need is. Start speaking his name.
Isn't the name of Jesus
Start speaking his name
powerful.
Over your situation.
Sing, chains are broken.
Chains are broken.
There's the anointing.
It's spoken.
Him walking by. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Here comes the anointing. No. I command healing right now in Jesus' name in the midst of your presence. Sickness and disease have no place in the child of God. Maiming and wounding, I command you to be restored. Growths, come out. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I rebuke any spirit of infirmity that's in this room. Get off the children of God in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare your power in this place. We are healthy people. Because you've already paid the price. And we command right now every symptom, every sickness, to submit themselves to the name of Jesus. Love you. Thank you for the honor of worshiping your name. Thank you for the honor, Holy Spirit, of using us as an oracle, as a mouthpiece, as an example to our Father that we love him. Name of Jesus. Ooh, I don't know about you. Man, some of you missed 7:15 a.m. prayer. The anointing was so strong. God's doing something. Pastor Andre said something this morning I didn't even realize. This is the last Sunday of the decade. 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 Aren't you willing to give God everything on his last Sunday of an entire decade? I mean everything. Decade. Turn to someone and say, you made it through. Now I want you to get ready. 2020 is going to be the most amazing season of your life. It's true. You know, some preachers like to hype people up. I don't need to hype you, man. I already know what he's going to do. Hang on for the ride. Woo! Some of you are going to love it. Some of you are going to hate it. Some of you have remained so untethered to God that you're going to hate this season coming up. Because God's going to try to arrest you. Because he has so much for you to bless you with, and he's sick and tired of watching you trade it out for foolishness. Oh, I can't wait for this season. Listen, you don't want to miss, I know this is going to be announced later, but you don't want to miss New Year's Eve night. We are releasing the theme for the year, 2020. And we're laying hands on every single person, releasing the anointing to carry it in. Amen. We're going to carry this thing in. Amen. Now listen, we usually do meet and greet. We're not going to do that this morning. If you can make your way back to your chair, we have so much to do this morning. But can you, when you get to your chair, turn around to somebody and say, "Well, by the way, I love the name of Jesus."
If that didn't get your attention, I don't know what will, but this is Julian. He's going to help me out this morning. We just want to welcome you all today. We're so excited that you're in the house of God on the last Sunday of the decade. Just as Pastor said, it's exciting. I hope you all enjoyed your Christmas together. We want to welcome our live stream family. We want to encourage you, get to the house. The anointing is powerful and strong. Amen. If you're a guest in the house, and if you have not already received a guest packet, we want to welcome you. Don't mind just raising your hand. We're going to bring you a gift. You can raise your hand right up front here. Awesome. We're so excited that you're here with us. We have a lot of awesome stuff coming up and going on, so I want to encourage you, if you haven't looked at your bulletin, pay attention to the Facebook page. There's so much happening, you don't want to miss it. But we have two exciting things coming up. Number one is our New Year's Eve service, and it is going to be absolutely powerful. You want to be here Tuesday night, 7 p.m. There is going to be childcare. I believe it's $5 at the door for childcare, but I'm telling you, don't miss it. You're missing it if you're not here. This is what's going to set you up and launch you for 2020. Amen. It's going to be powerful. I know last year it was awesome. So don't miss it. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. And then the following week, how many of you have participated with prayer and fasting every year? Amen. Julian, you're heavy, dude. I'm like winded. I'm serious. If you've never fasted before, I want to really encourage and challenge you to do it this year. The word says that some things only come out through prayer and fasting. So if there have things been in your life that have kept you your whole life, that's just been a constant struggle, then I want to challenge you this year to make a stand and fast and come out and pray. Things are literally broken off in moments when you fast and pray, especially when you come together as a corporate body and spend time together. I really don't know about you. I don't believe that pastor's full of hype. He's genuine in what he's saying, but I'm sure other people can feel it too, but I really believe 2020 is going to be the greatest year that we've ever seen yet, and I'm excited. So don't miss the boat. Join us for prayer and fasting. It's going to be absolutely powerful. Amen? And we have video announcements for you.
Are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with God and learn more about what you believe as a Christian? Or are you new here and looking to get more connected but not sure how? That's why we've designed the classes Next Steps and Growth Track. These classes were specifically designed to help you grow, learn, and become more connected with what we do here as a family at His Tabernacle. For more information, check us out online or visit us at the information desk out front.
Hey, His Tabernacle family, I want to invite you to our Freedom Weekend event. This event is perfect if you're a new believer. The dates are January 10th and 11th, and there's just a $10 admission fee to cover your lunch. We really want to see what God's going to do in your life. For more information, visit our website or go to the information center out front.
One of my favorite times of our church is coming up, and that is our time of corporate fasting and prayer. This is when we're going to get together as a corporate body and begin to seek the face of the Lord as we believe for supernatural breakthrough for the upcoming year. This year, I'm also excited to let you know that we have expanding our time of fasting and prayer from January 2nd to January 16th. We're going to have 2 weeks of going on a Daniel fast. We're going to give you guys all the information for you to be successful in that. We will still maintain our services on January 5th through January 8th. Be on the lookout on social media and the website for more information. But begin to prepare your heart, begin to prepare your mind, and we believe that 2020 will be the greatest year yet, and it will kick off with fasting and prayer.
Hi, HT family. My name is Minister McKenzie, and I am here to invite you to our New Year's Eve celebration. So on December 31st at 6:30 p.m., Ithaca and Mansfield campus are going to come here to the Horseheads campus and celebrate our new year. We're going to celebrate everything that was accomplished over 2019, and we're going to find out what our theme is for 2020. So I will see you here. Childcare is $5 at the door. Come get anointed, get fired up with the Word of God, and let's set goals for 2020 to accomplish. As the entire body of Christ.
Guys, I'm so excited. Pastor said I could take 20 minutes for this. Now, I'm so excited. It's such a good day, man. It's going to be 40 degrees. Nobody cares. All right. I guess we don't care. You don't have to freeze to death in upstate New York. And we're at church. Man, I'm excited about it. We're going to talk about money, but I don't think money's an awkward thing. Why? Because I believe our greatest success as a church is seeing all of us be successful. Amen. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, and I'm going to read it for you. It's so, such small letters. Here we go. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that's written in it. For then," and I love this transitional statement saying, hey, follow the Bible, learn the Bible, know the Bible, do the Bible, for then, transitional, I love this, "you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success." I want to be prosperous. I want to have good success. And our success as a whole is to move forward. Our success is seeing all of us successful in the things of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 21, verses 2 through 4, we find, and it's the only time it's written about in the Gospels, this poor woman as described in the Bible. And Jesus is actually watching what people are putting in the offering. He's at church. And he's watching what people are putting in the offering. And some people are putting large amounts. And she comes up and she puts in 2 pennies, her 2 mites. And she put in her 2 mites, Jesus stopped everybody. He's like, hey, all these guys are giving from their excess, but she's giving from all that she has. And I thought about this yesterday when I was reading it. And man, how many times where it's really easy to justify and say, well, I give more than others. Or on the flip side, say, well, I can't give because I can't give enough. So the reality isn't, can I give more than others or I can't give enough, because what he's really looking at is he's looking at our heart. He's looking at where we're giving from. And I'd encourage you, it's not the amount that you can give according to others, but it's what we can give according to what he's given us. And what's really cool about this poor woman description is when you actually look it up, it means someone who works hard for what they have. Man, when we work hard for what we have and we give out of that, that's what Jesus is looking for. And he's not looking to make you broke. He's not looking to send you home without a shirt, not able to afford things. He's looking to see where our heart is. And it's funny, on social media this week they posted, they were here last week for Christmas Sunday, which was so awesome. And Some people were commenting on it. They're like, that church needs 10%. They require 10%. Look, we don't require anything. But God asks for something. Look, there's no membership that we can revoke. If you don't give 10%, we're not going to shoo-shoo you. We're not going to hate you. We don't even look at those things. We just want to see you successful in the things of God. Amen? Amen. And what we teach is a tithe, 10%. 10% of what God has blessed us with, he wants back. And that's according to the scriptures in Malachi. So today, I want to encourage you. Maybe you said, I have more than enough to give and I give more than others. But if we're not giving 10, are we really being obedient? Maybe you're saying, you know what? I don't have enough to give because others can give more. That's not it. The real question is the 10%. Let's start there as a family. Let's start there as a body and see God glorified. And then we will make our way prosperous and we'll have success. Amen? Amen. Can we stand to our feet all over this place? Here we do something a little different. We actually bring our offering to the Lord. And on your chair is an envelope. If you're watching online, you can go to histabernacle.com/give. Or you can just comment right inside the Facebook post, I think. But here we bring our offering to the Lord. On your seat is an envelope. You can fill that out. And we actually make a supernatural proclamation. And this morning, Elijah is going to do it for us. Come here, Elijah. Have you ever talked in a microphone? He has. He's got this, guys. Don't worry. This is E. Will you put your hands together for Elijah as he leads us in the supernatural proclamation?
If I obey.
If I obey.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going in.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed going out.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
I'm blessed in my storehouse.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
And I'm blessed in my basket.
The blessings will chase me down. They'll trip me up. Because
I'm a child of God.
I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
Bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord this morning. You're watching by live stream. This is your moment. We are excited that you're able to watch and participate. If this is your home church, you can tithe right online. You can do text to give. You go right on out and hit the give button right there on the website, histabernacle.com. We love you. So excited today. This is one of the services I love every year. I look forward to this message every single year or this Sunday. And you've heard the president gets up and he gives the state of the state, you know, and then the governor does his. But I love to have the kingdom of God give the state of the kingdom. Amen. Say the state of the kingdom. I thank God that we have been privileged as his tabernacle to do a lot of things for Jesus. And today I just want to share with you real quickly, it's going to be just a very short portion of the message, and then I'm going to get into the message, and I would love to show a video first, please. All right, I'll show it second. No, I want to show it first. Here we go. This is our new opening for His Word TV every single Sunday morning at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., and we also are on certain nights after Jay Leno or the Late Night Show. This is the intro to that TV program. His Word TV. And then I want to share with you the recap video of where we have been for 2019. We're not going to show that one. We aren't showing that one. What I want to share with you this morning, since we're not going to show that one, is many people don't know what His Tabernacle does. How many of you have been here for at least a year? 2 years? 10 years? 20 years? Well, we do have 20 years. Amen. One thing that you'll recognize is that this church is not quiet. We do a lot. We reach our community a ton. In fact, last year, our church was able to give, actually 2018, I don't have the numbers for 19, but in 2018, our church gave over $300,000 back to our community, back to missions, back to vision, and it didn't stay here. So you and I just thank God that you are such a giving church. So turn to someone and say, you are a giving church. You know what's amazing is so many people say to me, well, you know, all the church wants is your money. But if you pay attention, this church does, thank God, turn to someone and say, they do want money. I love Pastor, well, I don't want your money. Well, we do. Amen. We do because we do something with it for the kingdom. And so I want to share with you real quickly just a quick idea of what His Tabernacle has done in 2019. In the Horseheads campus, 495 people, through all the outreaches we've done, have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Mansfield campus, 16. In the Ithaca campus, 130. And with Canada, who had 232, this year, with His Tabernacle, which is His Tabernacle in Horseheads, His Tabernacle in Ithaca, His Tabernacle in Mansfield, and His Tabernacle in New Brunswick, Canada. I don't know if you know that or not, but they actually carry our logo and the whole thing. They are a bona fide His Tabernacle family church. We, through all those campuses, saw 873 people give their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Last year, we gave 750 Bibles out. We had over 110 baptisms here on this campus, 23 in the Ithaca campus, and 3 in the Canadian campus. The average numbers, which means this, is that we minister in this campus alone 1,300 people every single month. That is pretty powerful. With His Word TV, we minister every single week to about 16,300 people from this place called the cornfield. Amen. The average Sunday morning attendance, Horseheads campus adult average is 580 in this campus, 70 in Mansfield, 110 in the Ithaca campus. And in Canada, they had 101 for the very first time. Amen. Glory to God. His Word TV on ABC and CBS, 15,000 plus people every single week. Live streaming every week, at least 210 people are live streaming every Sunday morning. That's larger than most congregations in our area, just watching by live stream from all over the world. I got a call the other day from another lady in Colorado. I don't know how many of you remember Sharon and Bob Swanson. How many of you remember Sharon and Bob Swanson? They were here many, many years ago. They're still part of this congregation from Colorado. They've been exited out of a few churches because they said that the doctrine wasn't really that hot and the pastors didn't appreciate it. So they're probably watching this morning all the way from Colorado. We also, in His Kids, that's our children's ministry, every Sunday morning, an average of 140 children are on the other side of that wall. The Mansfield campus, 15. The Ithaca campus, 34. Our Harvest Fest this year, we had over 2,000 people come through the Harvest Fest this year at His Tabernacle Family Church. And in Ithaca, which is just barely over a year old, about a year and a half, they had 250 people come through the Harvest Fest. The Easter egg event. How many of you remember the Easter egg event we have here? This last year, 1,500 people came out from the community to our Easter egg event where we share the gospel every single year. And the Ithaca campus, 150 for being just that young of an age is amazing. VBS, 90 this year. Ithaca Campus, 25. Come on now, Pastor Aaron rocked it for the first year of VBS. The Uproar, which is our teenagers, 90 on average in this room every single Thursday night with their hands lifted high and worshiping Jesus. 15 in the Ithaca campus. That just started 3 months, when did he start? He started about 6 to 8 months ago. He started, he already has 15 kids in Ithaca. And in Mansfield, they already have 15 kids in Mansfield, taking it by force. The Uproar Conference, the Youth Uproar Conference, had 1,000 youth in it in attendance, 1,000 plus youth in attendance this year. The average young adults, and that is 18 to 30 years old, on every once a month, there's 93 young people that fill this room and worship God. Remnant Bible College, many of you don't know, we have a Bible college right here in this church. 43 students this year at Remnant Bible College. Outreaches this year, we did the Uproared Kids, Matthew 25, every Wednesday night. Many people don't realize it. We spend $600 a week just in buses to bus in kids that don't have the ability to get here, and we share the gospel with them, we feed them food, and we clothe them if they're needed. On average right now, every single Wednesday night is 85. I thank God for all the workers on Wednesday nights. You've been cussed out. Come on now. You've been cussed out. Some of you have been punched out. But one thing for sure is that we've got the gospel out. Can I hear an amen? Giving in Need, Matthew 25, Wednesdays and Thursday nights, all the food we fed, 7,180 plates of food were served right here from this campus. The Parks Program, that means Mondays and Tuesdays we go down into the parks during the summer because the kids don't have school. We go down to them and we have given out from this place 540 plates of food, 2,800 plates of food every single Monday and Tuesday during the summer. Ithaca Feeding Program, they feed the homeless. 540 plates of food were served. The number of children given Christmas gifts this year, over 100 children. Amen. I'm just excited about that. Parades and festivals we participated with. Memorial Day Parade in Elmira and Horsehead. Juneteenth in Elmira. Trunk or Treat in Mansfield. Sparkle in Corning. The Corning Parade of Lights, which was chilly this year, by the way. The Elmira Holiday Parade. Ithaca Festival. The Mansfield Destroyer Baseball Games. God's been good to us. Groups this year, that means during the weekday, we get together and we hang out and we love each other. We love ourselves to life. Amen? You don't have to live your life alone, even as a believer. All the campuses included 880 people. I believe it says, let me see, number of people, whoever, 880 people have attended groups since we've begun them. Amen? It is really cool. There are 43 groups already. And I just had a young lady say to me this morning, I'd like to start a crocheting group. And I don't know if you crochet. I don't know. Maybe you'd like to crochet. And if you do, we're going to have a group just for you. Amen? The Empower Summit, which means we minister to pastors. Over 120 pastors came. We have Brother Jim Rayleigh this year. Woo, was he powerful. Out of Ormond Beach. And we also had Bishop Rick Thomas. He's our bishop, amen? He rocked it, and then I preached one of the nights. It was just a fun time. HT Cares, which is our elderly ministry. Many of you don't even know we minister to the elderly. Every single week, this church is in places. Are you ready? Every month, there are 6 services, 5 Bible studies, 1 Bible reading, visitation at 6 different locations, and Brother Carl, Minister Carl, is getting asked and just got asked to go to 2 more places because they're looking for people to do ministry for the elderly. I love that. I don't know about you, that makes me happy. Amen? These are the folks that are right on the threshold of eternity, and we're right in there sharing Jesus with them. I love that. The bus ministry, on average, every single Sunday morning, 15-plus people, and it is plus, because I know there's 15 more people, more than 15 when I step on that bus. Women's ministry, every single Thursday night, 50 this year was the average. The number of women attending the women's conference, or the women's, encounter was 412 women went to that. Whoa, come on. And the women, I think that was the women's conference, wasn't it? That's a conference? We had a conference too? That's awesome. Men's ministry, on average, men, every Wednesday night, man, you don't have to, you say you don't have friends, you can come right here every Wednesday night, hang out with a bunch of men. This year, during the average, was 20 men every Wednesday night. Next Steps, which is the Rock Solid Faith class, and the class is 350 people. Number of people that attended, 350 people. The average weekly attendance of Rock Solid Faith on all campuses, 70. That's not including online, because we almost have as many online as we have in-house. Growth Track, and that is the number of people that have attended Growth Track this year. In Horseheads, 98 people. Ithaca, 55 people. Mansfield, 25 people. And many of you don't realize all the work we have to do on these buildings. How many of you have seen the great leaks in the roof? Yes, amen. We came in the other day, and one of the children's rooms was literally flooded. Somebody had accidentally bumped a hose, and it filled the children's room. We could have had a pool. Glory to Jesus. The Horseheads campus, the children's rooms have all been painted and muralized. Amen. The large adult class has been painted. It's been given new chairs and new carpet. The parking lot the lights have been fixed, and the parking lot itself has already started being fixed. They just got overcome by the weather. We've had many ceiling lights fixed and tiles replaced. And every time we do that, we got to hire a scissor truck to come in here and take care of that. Stage lights were all updated. Like I said last week, we just spent $12,000 on lights this last year, this last 2 weeks. Amen. Jesus. Stage lights were updated, new wireless microphones, sound console replaced, new His Kids check-in desk, internet, Wi-Fi updates, security systems, cameras updated, purchasing new liner for the baptismal tank. Listen, we have busted like three of those. Mansfield campus, we found a new place and rented it. Began service on June 2nd. The children's classrooms are now all set up. They built a new altar down there, and projection screen has been installed, and they also have a new speaker system. The Ithaca campus have been taking it up by force, man. New stage lights, wireless microphones, new speakers installed, expanded space to create offices, updating the mother's room. There's just so much that this house has done. That's just 2019, and it's not all even on there. The reason we gave it to you in your hand is because we're asking God to lead you to be part of something this year. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Oh, you can do better than that. Say, slug. Come on, you turn to somebody and say, don't be a slug. Participation, amen. Remember, where you're not participating, you have no interest. That's why the devil can pluck you out easy. If you have no interest, what is an interest? The Bible says that when we start talking, looking at the word, that what we call nowadays is our values. Values are determined where you put your time and your money. If you never tithe, then it's not an interest. You can walk away from this place anytime you want. And if you don't put any time, then you have no interest. Amen? So I just want to encourage you to be encouraged. 2019 has been stupendous for His Tabernacle Family Church, and it's only going to get gooder and gooder and gooder and gooder for 2020. I can't wait. We're going to be doing Rock the Cities. We're going to rename them, but we're doing two Rock the Cities. Help me now, staff. Am I just one or two? We're doing one Rock the City this year. I really want to do six. I always do, because I believe the church needs to be in the community, not sitting on our buttocks. Amen. Turn to someone and say, amen. Praise the Lord. I have just a few minutes to preach this message. That wasn't the message. That was just sharing with you the state of the kingdom, that what God is doing through you. Turn to someone and say, thank you so much for being so faithful in your tithe and your offering and in your service. It allows us to change our region for Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to preach a quick little message on fasting. Get it? Quick message on fasting. You're a little slow this morning. You know, what are you going to do? What happens in the supernatural when you pray and you fast? Many times we forget that we are not of this world. The church has gotten so comfortable living in this world that we forget that we are sojourners here. We forget that we are visitors here. We forget that we are ambassadors from another country placed here to do work on behalf of God. So the truth is that fasting is a large part of that. Say amen or oh my. Exodus chapter 17 talks about Moses and when he's getting ready to, God spoke to him to go against the Amalekites. Now, he told him, he said, I want you to go up on this hill and I want you to raise your hands. And as your hands are raised, the battle will rage down below. And I will bring success to the children of Israel as long as your hands are raised to me. Now, what was interesting is Moses got tired. And when he started to lower his arms, literally the battle started to turn against the Israelites and for the Amalekites. And so he would have to prop himself up, and that's what he did. He propped himself up and lifted his hands. And finally, Aaron and Hur, they reached up and they grabbed his hands and they lifted up his hands until the battle was over. You see, the fact was, is until if he did not obey by the outward expression, then the battle would have been lost. So what does this have to do with fasting? Everything. And the reason it's everything is that you and I, whether we realize it or not, our outward obedience releases supernatural power from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says this, when you fast, somebody shout, when? Tell somebody else when. Tell somebody else not if. Tell somebody else when. Well, I'm going to fast shoes for a week. No, it's not fasting. Well, I'm gonna fast coffee for a week. Well, if you didn't start a month ago, you're going to wish you hadn't because you're going to have a headache. Fasting is a part of God's plan. It is not a if, it is a when. It is not an if, it is a when. I said it is not an if, it is a when. I said it is not an if, it is a when. And what we don't get is Matthew 17, verse 21, but this kind does not come out but by fasting and by prayer. I want to remind you that the world we live in is more spiritual than it is natural. The chairs you sit on will collapse within 15 years and maybe 20 years, and some of them have collapsed within an earlier time of that because someone stood on them or there was a malfunction within the creation of it, and it was thrown away. It was put into the dumpster. $65 chucked into a dumpster. No big deal, right? But the fact is we put more trust and more understanding in what we're seeing, what we're sitting on, than the reality of what is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, don't look at the things which are seen, for they are temporal, but look at the things which are not seen, for they are eternal. Whether you realize it or not, how many of you love Jesus in the room? How many of you don't? Don't say it out loud. How many of you love Jesus in the room? How many of you are born again in the room? Well, the Bible says that his angels encamp around those who love him. Now, camping don't mean you got one. Oh, there's a big thing. Well, I have a guardian angel. I don't see that in the Bible in any way, shape, or form. The Bible says that his angels encamp around you, which means you got at least four. Amen? I said, I like four. One is one, but four is four. I thank God. So if there's four, and in this room, let's just say there's 350, 400 people, adults in this room, times four, this place is getting kind of crowded. That's why it's hot in here. What you can't see are the angels. What you can't see, I remember we had a woman of God come in and she had the gift of discerning of spirits at the deepest level. And that means you can actually see in the spirit realm. You can see the angels and the demons and the activity in the realm of the spirit. I know we have a sister on the front row who sees that as well. And she came in and we went back to my office. She said, Pastor, you are a praying church. And I said, yes, we are. She says, you know how I know that? She said, I know that because I looked during the services and I saw angels all literally peering down over the edge on both sides. It was like a coliseum as they were participating. And angels don't go where they're not welcome. And angels don't go where there isn't prayer. So the supernatural is released and the power of God is released through the power of praying and fasting. Physical obedience will always bring spiritual release. Say it again. Physical obedience will always bring spiritual release. You want to see God move more in your life? Then you've got to have obedience in your life. Boy, it got quiet in this room. Amen. We don't like that word anymore, obedience. We want our kids to obey, but we don't want to obey. Come on now, say amen or oh my. I don't mind you saying oh my. We've created in the church realm a disassociation with physical in our walks with God. I'll prove it to you. When we first started and when we got into this building, we would have over 100 men, usually men, stand out in the foyer till after worship was over, then they would come into the sanctuary. Now it's amazing, and maybe you're in the room. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, lift up your hands without wrath or malice, that we are to lift our hands to the Lord in worship. But yet it's amazing to me how very few people lift their hands in worship. And usually it's like this. Well, you know, God knows my heart. Inside, I'm lifting my hands. Well, you know, I don't need to show on the outside what's happening on the inside. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You see, what we've done is we've slowly disassociated our physical manifestation of obedience, and we've quickened it just to your heart. What is in your heart will show physically. What is in your heart will show physically. I'll prove it to you. If you've been married, when you get married, there's something called the honeymoon. Couples spend a lot of money on the honeymoon. Now, let's just say you have a honeymoon, but you never, for 10 years, consummate the marriage. I knew a situation where the wife told the husband, well, I don't like sex. So the only time they had sex was like very few in a long period of marriage. Because she didn't like it. And what ended up happening was there was a breach in their marriage. Because she said she loved him, but she was unwilling to show him. Just like men, try it. Don't tell your wife you love her. Don't tell your wife she's important to you. Don't try it. I don't have time for marital counseling. We'll do a class. There is an expectation that if you love somebody, there's an outward expression of it. Whether it's holding hands, whether it's giving a kiss, whether it's gazing into each other's eyes with great passion and fire. I love you. Whether it's intimacy in the bedroom, there is an outward expression of the love that you have. There's a physical manifestation. And you see, we've gotten away from physical manifestation within the church. I knew somebody who went to a more liturgical style church. Thank you, honey. She whispered in my ear over here. Which simply means it was a dead church. And they came from here and they went to this dead church. And as they're in the service, they're lifting their hands and they're worshiping the Lord. And then they looked around on accident and realized they were the only ones. Oh, by the way, that was me. I went down to Florida to visit my dad, and I always go to church on Sunday no matter what. And I went down to the church down the street like 4 miles that said it was Pentecostal. And I'm standing in the church service lifting my hands, and I'm singing, baby. Come on, you know me. I love Jesus. I'm singing, baby. And I look around, and nobody. The lady next to me went like this. I did know of a person who went to a more reserved church, doctrinally reserved. And the pastor said something they liked. They went, hallelujah! And everybody went. I do know people that have been exited out of churches that way. Well, why? Because people are afraid of an outward manifestation. You can't be afraid. God created you to manifest what's inside. Amen. And there is a release of when you do that. Now listen, the Bible says in Psalms 96:1, sing unto the Lord a new song. Yet in church, it's how many people don't even sing? Well, I'm singing inside. Well, my voice stinks. God didn't say sing if you got a good voice. God said sing. Why? Because there is a connection. There is a connection. When you obey God in the natural, when you obey God in the physical, there is a reaction in the spiritual realm of heaven. This morning during early morning prayer, I just kept hearing, holy, holy, holy. And for 45 minutes, that's what I did. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, I feel the anointing. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, and I said, God, I don't understand. He says, my angels are singing around me at all times. Man, don't you want to do? And I said, yes. And I started shouting, holy! In the presence of God, you could just feel the anointing reverberate through the building. Why? Because there's an outward manifestation which created a supernatural revelation. There must be a physical reaction to you. The Bible says in Psalms 95:6, kneel before the Lord your maker. Well, I don't need to bow on my knees. You see, my wife don't do that for show. Man, if you know my wife, she's doing that at home too. My wife will kneel during the worship service. Her hands are raised during the worship. She's not doing no show. Well, listen, if you get to know my wife and I, we don't show. We are who we are. I got nothing up my sleeve. I got no need to impress you because you don't mean nothing to me in the aspect of me being afraid of you. The only one I fear is the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? And in that, I don't need to do nothing for you to make you happy. In fact, if I could do that, then our church would be double the size next week because I'd stop preaching about sin and stuff. I'd extract the Holy Spirit from the church. Listen, you can grow a church quick if you extract the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit makes people nervous because of their sin in their life, because they don't want to obey God. Oh, come on now, say amen or oh my. There is a disassociation and we've got to get back to an association. Pastor, what does this have to do with fasting? Everything. Why? Because God said, when you fast, these do not come out except by prayer and fasting. Fasting is something we don't talk about in this church. I should say in church. We talk about it in this church. In churches. In fact, people don't like to talk about fasting. Why? Well, because it means you've got to bring your flesh into subjection. We want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it. We want to eat the way we want to eat. Don't anybody tell me what to do. Boy, it got really quiet in here. I could play Silent Night, Holy Night. Be all right. This is important. Why? Well, because if we're going to see what 2020 has to unfold, and if you are going to see it in your life, fasting is going to have to be part of your life. I went to the doctor not too long ago, and he told me, I would like you to start intermittent fasting. Now even in the doctor's offices, they're telling you to start fasting. Why? Well, because we Americans, we have become so used to making our flesh happy that we're eating ourselves to death. And we've got to come back to the place of learning how to fast. It is almost embarrassing to me. And I got online last night because I wanted to see what other pastors were saying about people that are on medication that need to eat to be able to take their medications. And you know what I found? Nothing Christian. I found everything Muslim. Because Muslims are demanded to fast. But the Christians no longer fast because, well, you know, the Lord knows my heart. God knows your heart, but he's calling you to do an external manifestation to produce a supernatural revelation. There is going to need to be a release within your life to learn how to fast so that you can be brought to a deeper level. Say amen or oh my. Fasting is an act of obedience. It is that connection between your physical obedience and your spiritual blessing. Some of you have been halted because spiritual activity is happening in your life and you're frustrated. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? And God is saying, no, no, no. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Fasting is part of that. Fasting is not a manipulator for God. Fasting is when you and I put our flesh into subjection. And what happens when we do that is we release a supernatural blessing. What happens when we do that, our spiritual man starts becoming keen. How many of you have ever gone a meal, missed a meal? You got so busy, you just missed a meal. You didn't think about fasting. It wasn't like, I'm going to fast today. You missed a meal. Some of you have never missed a meal. All of a sudden, man, you didn't even think about it. It's already supper. You already missed a meal, and you weren't even hungry. But tell your flesh you're going to fast tomorrow, and you're going to start chewing your knuckle off in your sleep. Because the flesh is the enemy of God. I just want to run through some basic things, and I'm going to be really quick. I'm so sorry. I got to go faster, 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 faster. I got to go Bostonian. Is that all right? Has anybody ever heard of Daniel? Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3 says this. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. This means this. Daniel ate vegetables. I hate vegetables. Anybody else hate vegetables? I go to the restaurant and they say, well, we have a salad as part of your thing. I said, God did not create green. I do not like vegetables. But here, Daniel, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, under the direction of God, fasted. It's called the Daniel fast. And in your seats, you have the directions on how to perform a Daniel fast. There's another type of fast that actually I like better, and that is called a full fast. And that is where you only drink water. You eat no food, you have no juices, you are just, it's straight water fast. Personally, myself, I enjoy a water fast more than I enjoy a Daniel fast. The reason is because the Daniel fast, I can eat all I want. You can eat all you want on the Daniel fast, but I'm always still hungry. And you go to the bathroom a lot. Here's Daniel. Daniel made a decision, God, under God's direction, that he was going to fast for 3 weeks. Everybody shout, 3 weeks. 3 weeks? That's a lifetime. You know, some of us, let's be honest, man. How many have been alive more than 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years? 50, 66, 70 years? How many have been alive 70 years? How many have been alive 80 years? How quickly did that go? You'll find that time rushes by and 3 weeks is absolutely nothing to be able to aspire to get something you've never had before. There is always a level of sacrifice for your next level. There is always a level of sacrifice for your next level. There is always a level of sacrifice for your next level. There is always a level of sacrifice for your next level. There is always a level of sacrifice for your next level. You will never get to your next level until you're willing to sacrifice something in your life to where you are willing to get something you did not have before. Listen, I'm not even talking spiritual. I'm talking natural. Some of you wanted to climb the corporate ladder. It meant you could not work 35, 40 hours anymore. You had to work 50 and 60 hours now. Now you wanted to go to the next level. Now it's 70 to 80 hours. You're willing, come on now, I respect these people that work on the gas wells, but some of you work 100 hours a week and you don't even bat an eye. Because the paycheck is monstrous. You're sacrificing to get something you've never had before. There is an outward manifestation, an outward obedience to receive another spiritual blessing. And fasting is part of that for our lives. And Daniel made a decision. He ate vegetables, he drank water, and he abstained from pleasant. The word pleasant there means desirable food. I'm a donut guy. I love sourdough. Now, I don't just like sourdough, man. You know, you got to find the donut. You know, you go to Dunkin' Donuts or you go to one of these other places, and they have sourdough.
But some of them are like really lacking frosting. Sour cream. And they're lacking that glaze. Or they, I don't know what this is. They glaze half of it? What? Glaze half of a donut. So what I do, my wife said, get back on target. What I do is when I go to these places, I look for that donut that has the most coagulated. Thank you. My wife's in the background. She's helping me. I'm talking pools of glaze. Because what I do is I take it back and I get my coffee and I break it off and I start dipping it and it makes the glaze start to melt. And when I put it in my mouth, saturated with the coffee and the glaze is starting to go into each corner of my salivatory glands, all of a sudden there's an eruption of glory. Ah, Jesus, God is good. I know there are donuts in heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You think you're laughing. I'm not laughing. There's donuts in heaven. I know there are. But on a fast, I got to walk fast past those donuts. Because I hear them. Michael! There is a sacrifice. Desirable foods. It's amazing to me when you start really looking at it. As Daniel started to fast and as Daniel brought his flesh into subjection, Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 and 11 says this, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. So as this hand touched him, as he's fasting, all of a sudden there is a supernatural manifestation. Now an angel comes and touches him and he drops to his knees, he drops to his hands and he starts, come on now, he's getting a little concerned. If you've ever come into the presence of God where he is so thick, where his presence is so powerful, I see it in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. The priests could not even stand. They couldn't even stand erect within the temple of God because the presence of God, the glory of God was so thick. I want the glory of God. I need the glory of God. I need the presence of God. I don't need church. I don't need religion. I need Jesus. Oh, I love this. And the angel said to me, O Daniel, man greatly desired by God. The word beloved there literally means desired. So this is what happens. Watch this. Daniel did not eat desirable food, which made him desirable to God. Now I want you to realize that God loves you no matter what. Can I hear an amen or oh my? God can't love you any more now than he did when you got born again or before when you were living as Satan's spawn. The fact is that God loves you, but the favor of God is different. The blessings of God are different. Not everybody gets the same blessings. Not everybody gets the same, well, you know, look at that preacher. He's blessed going in and he's blessed going out. I hate that saying every single Sunday morning. You want to know why you hate it? Because you ain't blessed. Listen, not that God don't love you. But when you're unwilling to sacrifice, lay yourself down on the altar of God, which is as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service, Romans chapter 12, then you can't expect the blessings of God in the aspect of God going to pour his favor out on your life. Amen. And there's different levels of favor. Smith Wigglesworth, with a third grade education, raised 6 or 7 people from the dead. 3 of them were embalmed. I'm talking embalmed. No, we're not talking about, wow, that's just a nice story. No. I'm talking, they were embalmed. They were dead. There's records. And God raised them from the dead. But when you look at his life was where he was unwilling. He didn't go 10 minutes without reading the Bible. One day he was leaving a ministry and he had spent the night at this house and he was leaving to go to the next ministry. He's driving down the road, or he's in the passenger seat, they're going down the road and he says, pull over! He left his Bible in the back. He reached in the back, pulled out his Bible, read some verses. Okay, you can go now. People want what God does in his life, but they don't want to pay the price that it costs to get there. I don't know if I can, but I'll try. People want what other people have in the spirit, but they don't want to pay the price it takes to get there. And fasting is one of those. If you will not fast, then there are certain things that are not going to be released in your life. When Daniel fasted, all of a sudden an angel appeared. And when the angel appeared, he said, Daniel, you have become greatly desired by God because you gave up what was desirable. I like donuts. I like coffee with sugar in it. I like coffee. Amen. But I hate coffee with no sugar. It's nasty. I mean, what? Nasty. I can hear my wife, well, you really don't like coffee then. Fasting grabs God's attention. It so grabbed God that he sent his angel down. Not just sent his angel down, but the angel made that statement. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God in a certain manner. I have this unsatisfied or dissatisfied satisfaction. I thank God for where he's brought me. I thank God for what he's done in my life. Well, you're the pastor, you have to. No, baby, there are a lot of pastors who are going to hell. Just because you got a title don't mean you're going to heaven. Say amen. I got to have the same sacrifice as you got. Can I hear an amen? And if I'm unwilling to fast, then there'll be no power in this church. If I'm unwilling to fast, then if I'm unwilling to give my flesh and say, God, I'm sacrificing it to you, then how can you expect God to work through me? Man. This is what's wrong with a lot of churches. We got a lot of dead preachers and a lot of dead churches because they're unwilling to die to come alive. If you don't die to yourself, you can't live for Christ. Amen or oh my. I must decrease so he will increase. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives. And I think we just got to be honest. Is that fair? Be honest. You have as much of God as you want. Some of you just want enough to get out of hell. I don't want that much. I want more. I love being in his presence. I love seeing God heal the sick. I love seeing somebody who's been oppressed by the devil be delivered. Come on now, I've seen it. I've watched a lady who was demon-possessed. I've watched when we cast that devil out, her literal face morph. I watched it morph. I've watched supernatural things. I've watched somebody float to the ground. I've watched somebody supernaturally get healed when they went back to the doctor. There's no more sickness. There's no more disease. I've watched God do things where all of a sudden an entire congregation, there's not a word to be muttered, there's not a sound to be sounded, because God's presence is so thick, everybody go quiet. Can't be satisfied with religion. But you can't gadgiate, unless you're going to go to school. Part of the school is fasting. Some of you hit that wall in your spiritual walk. And you got saved. You're in love with Jesus. God's changing your life. Then all of a sudden, you came to this place where you started getting bored in the church services. You stopped raising your hand during church. You stopped doing ministry in the house of God. You stopped tithing. And you're thinking, well, you know, it's just, maybe I need a new church. No, you don't need a church. You need a revival in your heart. You need to get on your face and bring your flesh under subjection and pray more than, dear Lord, bless this food. Amen. You need to push the food away and say, God, as much of a sacrifice, I can hear my stomach rumbling already. I can feel hatred rumbling up inside. I'm hangry. But you tell your flesh you will not eat, and I am sacrificing so that God will see and know that I'm giving away the desirable so that I will be desirable, so that when I need a supernatural manifestation, there will be a release because my spirit man is not dull. My spirit man is keen. I am aware. I am focused. I am understanding that the things which I cannot see are more real than the things that I can. And if I call those things which are not, I will see them happen because God, by His Spirit, is working through my life. Fasting! Shout, I love fasting! You're a liar like I would be. Daniel came to this place where all of a sudden the angel starts talking to him more. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, the archangel, the angel of war, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. The king of Persia was a demon spirit, a high-level demon spirit. Now, you do know that the demonic world is very, very organized. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this darkness. There are different levels of demon spirits that do different levels of demon activity. And here a demon, a prince of Persia, a high-level demon, was holding back the angel. You see, Daniel was fasting. Daniel was praying for his country. Daniel was praying for his leaders. Daniel was seeking the Lord. Remember, he would open the window and pray and see, do that three times a day. And finally, the Darius was duped, and they took Daniel because he would not stop praying, and they threw him in the lion's den. I want to tell you, if he was not a faster, he might not have run fast enough. Sorry. Kind of came to me. Because Daniel was a faster, there was deliverance to be had. Some of you have been praying for things, man. You needed deliverance from something in your life. But every time fasting comes up twice a year at His Tabernacle Family Church, you make sure you're not around. Or you leave the service while I'm preaching it. Well, the reason is because I don't want to fast. Well, neither do I. I love donuts. I love bacon and eggs in the morning. Four poached eggs, two pieces of toast, lathered with butter. I you know, bacon's good, but you know, you take the eggs and you slice them all up and you salt and pepper them and you eat it with the first piece of bread and you take the second piece of bread and you cut it up and you sop up all the yolk. Wash it down with the coffee. To God be the glory. Today I'm going to go home. I'm going to have a medium rare steak, mashed potatoes. My mother made salad. I'm not going to eat it. I hate salad. But I hate the Daniel fast. I'm going to eat that steak slow because tomorrow I'm going to start to fast. Eat it real slow. I don't know who made the cookies, but they're hard. My favorite cookie is the hard sugar cookie. I've eaten a little extra this week because I know what's happening on Monday. Monday, Monday, Monday! Let's help us all. I might get a donut today, Brother Bob. Where'd he go? Make sure I get a sour cream donut with lots of frost on it. Burning Dairy has them with a cup of coffee. Yeah, go get it. Some of you have been held back by demonic spirits, and they will keep holding you back. Not because God doesn't love you, but because you're unwilling to go to your next level of authority. There has to be an outward manifestation to release the spiritual revelation. You have fought fasting. And I understand that you take medication. That's why the Daniel fast is perfect. Contact your doctor. Ask your doctor, can I do a Daniel fast? In your seats are the papers of how to do a full Daniel fast. Get that to your doctor. And if your doctor says, which I know they will, you're going to cuss me out. But I'm okay with that because I want you to go higher. Because I want you to see God in a new way. I want Jesus to touch you on the shoulder and say the Prince of Persia has held back your prayer answer for 21 days. But God found you to be desirable. God sent Michael the archangel and he put back that devil. And I've got your answer. I've got what you need. I've got what you promised. I am going to bless you because you're desirable to me. Oh, it's good. Amen. I got to talk faster. Reasons why some people's devils aren't cast off. Not only because of unbelief. Not only because they're so connected. You know, it's interesting. These do not come out but by prayer and fasting. And in the verse before, it talks about how unbelief. The disciples say, why couldn't we cast this devil out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief and because you're in a perverse nation or a perverse people. What's interesting is that statement because unbelief talks about you're not connected enough to God. And perverse means you're too connected with the world. 2 John says, if the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father is not. What's prayer? Connecting to God. What's fasting? Disconnecting from the world. Fasting connects you to Jesus in a fashion that your flesh will hate, but your spirit man will love. Like I said, I personally like a water fast better. I do better at them. So tomorrow I'll start a water fast. My goal is to go 14-day water fast. And then the last week to do a Daniel fast. Well, that's not a lot. Once you've hit day two or three, depending on your flesh screaming, now I can fast and I'll start tomorrow and I won't even desire food for the rest of the time. Because I fast often. Train my body that it's not allowed to rule me. So as I fast 14 days, if you've never fasted a water fast before, by the third day you're fine. You can go as long as you want. Actually brought your flesh into subjection. By day 4 and 5, your spirit man, you'll hear the Holy Ghost go, hey. Before he'd have to go, yo! On a Daniel fast, you'll get there. When you do, you're going to say, Pastor, I hated starting it, but it changed my entire walk with God. I challenge you to be a faster. Some of you have never fasted a day in your life, ever. You can fast, Daniel fast, and you're going to be all right. All right. Eat no desirable thing. It'll show you how to do it on the list. I'm almost done. We're starting our fast. We have a list, I believe. We have the dates we're starting. We're going to meet here corporately. The Daniel fast will start January 2nd to the 16th. That's 2 weeks. And then if you want to go a third week, you can. You make it to 2, you might as well go 3. Can I hear an amen? We're going to have prayer here, 6:15, Monday through Thursday. I'm sorry. Sunday through Wednesday, right here in the main sanctuary. Sunday, 7 p.m. on the Horseheads campus. Monday through Wednesday, every noon we'll be praying. And then Monday through Wednesday, 7 p.m. on all campuses. We're going to be fasting and praying together. Some of you have never done this. This is your year. Can I say amen? I'll say it for you. Amen. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Don't let your flesh rule your life. It's time to fast. Amen. The Lord said, is not this the fast that I have called? It's the fast. And I want you to get ready. It's going to be a great fast. You're going to hate me for a few days, but you'll be all right. The physical benefits. There's a great book called The Atomic Power of Prayer and Fasting. It was written in the 1950s. With science back in those days, if you actually fast 30 days, you literally have a brand new body. It literally changes every single cell in your body. By day two of fasting, you are creating new stem cells. What are stem cells for? Stem cells go, they have no purpose when they're created, except they end up going where the need is for the body to be restored and healed. One day fasting alone purges your flesh, your physical body. It's good. Fasting will change your life inside and out. It is God's plan for your life. And you turn to someone and say, I'm so excited. Do fast. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your call. I thank you, God, that you have a design for us, an outward expression to bring an inward manifestation, a supernatural manifestation. Lord, I thank you that this church will fast because we want what you have for us for 2020. We are unwilling to yield it to appease our flesh. We will sacrifice our flesh. We will bring our flesh into subjection to obtain your plan for us in 2020. God, thank you for all you did in 19. That was awesome, Lord. It was supernatural, God. But we want more. We want more of you. We want more of change. We want to make more impact. We want your name to be known. We want more miracles. We want more salvations. We want more signs and wonders. We want you to be glorified so that no one can say it's religion, but the supernatural experience of a living God who's sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar quickly. Quickly. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to know God. We prayed for you this morning. I prayed for you last night. You came to this church by invitation. Thank God. But you're here on divine appointment because God's got a plan for you. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not saying you don't believe in God, but you've never surrendered your life to God. Today's your day. Today, if you'd like to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, today, if you know you're not right with the Lord, you die, there's even a question in your head that you're going to go to heaven or hell. Today, I want you to know, you can know that you know that you know that you'll meet Him face to face. Today, if you'd like Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Come on now, get your hand up if you want Christ as your Savior. Five. Thank you. I appreciate it, honey. In the back. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. Five, four, three. Thank you. I appreciate that. I see your hand, honey. Two. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to your feet. I went late. Please don't hit anybody in the parking lot. You raise your hand for salvation. I'm going to ask you to be brave. I want everybody to turn to the person next to them and say, if you did not raise your hand, but you want to give your heart to the Lord, I'll go up with you. Don't assume they're going to heaven. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Step right out of your chair. Meet me right up front right now. Come on now. Give them a hand clap as they come. Yep. Come on. Give them a hand clap as they come. Come on over there, baby girl. Amen. Yay. So proud of you. A fellow Bostonian. Glory to God. Getting born again. Yay. Another lady coming right here. Amen. Another lady in the back coming. Hey, baby girl. I'm so proud of you all. Do you know what this means? You're doing something natural to get the supernatural. You'll be changed forever. Amen. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you. Get your Bibles. We're going to get you running, not walking, but running all the way with Jesus. Amen. I love you. Right there. I love you. Enjoy Jesus. Come on now. Don't forget New Year's Eve service. You don't want to miss it in the name of Jesus. Make sure you're here. We love you. Enjoy God today.